Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Vivara Dhari Gopi Jana Balabha Vivara Dhari Gopi Jana Yasura Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasura Nandana Yasura Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Siravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Gopi Jana Balabha Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Gopi Jana Yasura Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasura Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasura Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Nityagaur Haribo, 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 Nityagaur Haribo, Nityagaur. Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Radhe Hare Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parabraja Kacharya, Aso, Tarasata, Sri Shimar's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabaraja Kacharya Asotara Satashri Shimaj Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Ananta Kura Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Jikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Saimakunda Radha Kunda Gidi Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mathura Dham Ki Navadip Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Yamuna Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled glories. Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Sevaya. Vagutitam shloke Bhaktir Bhavitina Ishtiki.
That's what happens when you try to do two things at once. Nope, okay. There it goes, okay. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 5, Texts 12 and 13. Ta Ashisha Pratyujanas Chiram Pahiti Balake Harida Kurna Taladbi, I'm sorry, Taladbi, Sinchanto, Janam, Ujagu, Ta Ashisha Prayujanas, Chiram Pahiti Balike.
Haridra Churna Taradabhi Chinta Sinchanto Gyanam Ujago.
So we'll just read the translation here and we'll go through the other, recite as a group the others. Ta, all the women, the wives and daughters of the coward men. Ashisha, blessings. Prayunjata, offering. Chiram, for a long time. Pahi, may you become the king of Vraja and maintain all its inhabitants. Iti, thus. Balake, unto the newborn child. Haridrakurna, power of turmeric. Taila, abhi, mixed with oil. Sinchantya, sprinkling. Ajanam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unborn. Ujagu, offered prayers. Translation, offering blessings to the newborn child, Krishna. The wives and daughters of the coward men said, may you become the king of Vraja and long maintain all its inhabitants. They sprinkled a mixture of turmeric powder, oil, and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. Text 13. Avajanta Vichitani Vaditani Mahotsave Krishne Vishveshvare Nante Nandasya Vrajam Agate Avadyanta Vichintani Vaditani Mahotsave Krishne Vishvare Nante. Nandasya Vrajamagate Avadyanta Vichitrani Vaditrani Mahotsave Krishne Vishveshvare Nante Nandasya Vrajamagate.
Avadyanta Vichitrani
Okay, there we go. Let's see. Avadyanta vibrated in celebration of Vasudeva's son. Vichitrani, various. Vaditrani, musical instruments. Mahautsave, in the great festival. Krishne, when Lord Krishna. Vishva Ishvare, the master of the entire cosmic manifestation. Anante, unlimitedly. Nandasya, of Maharaj Nanda. Vrajam, at the pasturing place. Agate, had so arrived. Translation. Now that the all-pervading, unlimited Lord Krishna, the master of the cosmic manifestation, had arrived within the estate of Nanda Maharaj, various types of musical instruments resounded to celebrate the great festival. Now that the all-pervading, unlimited Lord Krishna, the master of the cosmic manifestation, had arrived within the estate of Maharaj Nanda, various types of musical instruments resounded to celebrate the great festival. Purport. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata ayutanam adharmasya taramam asyajaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Whenever Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, he comes to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. Krishna is the master of all creation, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Therefore, not only in the neighborhood of Nanda Maharaj's estate, but all over the universe, and in all other universes, musical sounds celebrated the auspicious arrival of the Lord. Om Aganati Mirandasya Kananjana Shaka Chakshura Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're reading this, there's a comment here on the, let's see, I have a comment. Similarly, we celebrate Krishna's, the Lord's arrival every morning. This is happening here, not just on his birth, but every day. So the process of our receiving the Lord every day is kind of endlessly joyous. We need not wait for the Lord's specific birthday to have a festival. Every day is an auspicious appearance day of Lord Krishna. And each of us awaits consciously or unconsciously or subconsciously the day when we will be visibly, when he will be visibly manifest to us in our hearts. So this is Krishna's arrangement, that he takes his birth, and to some he appears as an ordinary person, even to his devotees, his topmost devotees, Nanda and Mother Yasoda. They're very much, convinced that Krishna is an ordinary child, that he's their child, and that they have to take care of him. Their objective is to see him raised properly, give him nice instructions, keep him from being too naughty, and to make him healthy and strong and grow up just as every parent, every sane parent wants their child to do. And their desire is also simply like this. Their love for Krishna is overflowing in this mood of parental love. And our love for Krishna is not exactly overflowing, but our love is to eventually become servants somehow on the caliber of friends or parental overseers or lovers. That's our objective in Krishna consciousness, to again share with the Lord
his eternal association. We have many difficulties in doing that. We have Maya to overcome. We have the illusion that we're separate from Krishna, that we're different from Krishna, that we have our real obligations are here in the material world, the family, friends, governments, etc. We have so many illusions. And to overcome them is not practical to make some mental adjustment. It's not possible to make a mental adjustment to overcome our illusions. We have to take shelter of Krishna. This I have here the purport of the Bhagavad Gita verse that Prabhupada references here. And I wanted to read that because I have some comments mixed into that. That's why I'm using this computer gadget here. But the purport is very important to understanding what is the significance of the event of the Lord in the world. The Lord comes to rescue us. That's his business. He comes to rescue us, have his pastimes here, and demonstrate what is awaiting us in the spiritual world. It's not that he comes here just to see how we're suffering or how we're getting along, or maybe he can make a few adjustments, like Superman, save somebody here and save somebody there. He's not just trying to do that. No, he's actually trying to give us a demonstration of what awaits us in the spiritual world, what kind of loving exchanges we can have in the spiritual world with the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada is giving the purport. I'll just start reading that. The word Sri Jami is significant here. Sri Jami cannot be used in the sense of creation because, according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body. This is referencing, of course, how the Lord appears. Since all the forms are eternally existent, therefore Sri Jami means that the Lord manifests himself as he is. Although the Lord appears on schedule, namely at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, at the 28th millennium in the 7th Manu, in one day of Brahma, he has no obligation to adhere to such rules and regulations. He's not scheduled. He's not attached to a schedule. But he does this so that everyone can know and expect when he is actually bona fidely appearing, when it's actually Krishna that's appearing. Although the Lord appears on schedule, namely at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, he is completely free to act in many ways at his will. He therefore appears by his own will whenever there is a predominance of irreligion and a disappearance of true religion. Principles of religion are laid down in the Vedas, and any discrepancy in the matter of properly executing the rules of the Vedas makes one irreligious. So there's a heavy heavy reference to us. I don't want to appear cynical. I know sometimes I appear cynical, but the fact is, if we're not executing the rules of the Vedas, we are irreligious. However, there's a higher religious principle, and it goes on to talk about that. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that such principles are the laws of God, of the laws of the Lord. Only the Lord can manufacture a system of religion. The Vedas are also accepted as originally spoken by the Lord himself to Brahma from within his heart. Therefore, the principles of Dharma, or religion, are the direct orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu shakshar bhagavat praditam. These principles are clearly indicated throughout the Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of the Vedas is to establish such principles under the order of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord directly orders at the end of the Gita that the highest principle of religion is to surrender unto him only and nothing more. So this is the saving grace of all these principles of religion, is that the highest principle, the topmost principle, the one that we can most easily execute, actually, is to surrender unto Krishna. However, in order to surrender unto Krishna in all different circumstances, so many different circumstances arrive in our life, we have to be Krishna conscious. You cannot say, I'm surrendered to Krishna, without thinking, what does Krishna want me to do? What does Krishna want in this situation or that situation? How can I please the Supreme Lord? This is the test, or the, the measure of a devotee. Is he Krishna conscious? Is he doing in his life span, in his work and so forth? Is he doing what he knows will please Krishna? Now, surrender is the key and the only way to achieve Lord Krishna's association, both here and in the material world, and in the internal, in the material world, and in the internal spiritual world. Surrender used to be the principle when we were in our more cult-like phase. In other words, when you first came to Krishna consciousness, I remember going back 40 years almost, devotees would say, "You have to surrender to Krishna." That was a talk. That was the line. And someone came to the temple. You would preach to him and tell him about karma, reincarnation, about Krishna, about the potency of the holy name, and then you say, "Now you should surrender." And everyone would either surrender or leave. Either way. And sometimes they would surrender for a while and then leave. But the idea was that surrender to Krishna was the modus operandi of the movement. And so we were cult-like. We were far different from the ordinary stream of material consumerism that is rampant in then and in the country now. People are involved in trying to enjoy, naturally. Prabhupada was asked a question once, so I always like to reference this, why is there anything? And his answer was, for pleasure. Everything is for pleasure. So Krishna has created the spiritual world. He creates and manifests himself and everything else so that he can have pleasure. He manifests all of his associates so he can have exchange with them, have pleasure with them. And ultimately, this is why everything is there for us to enjoy. But if we enjoy separate from Krishna, if we think that everything is there for us to enjoy without Krishna, then it becomes a problem. Then our life becomes a problem. We become absorbed in the different illusions that are offered by Maya. Maya has an endless array of illusions to offer us, that we're talented, that we're intelligent, that we're sometimes brilliant, that we're rich, that we're poor. She has so many different illusions, but none of them really have to do with our essential self, our true self, our spirit soul self. The spirit soul is only useful. Knowing that you're a spirit soul is only useful if you know Krishna. Thinking I'm spirit soul is a big interference with your pursuit of bodily enjoyment, bodily pleasure. When you actually recognize I'm spirit soul, then bodily pleasure becomes a secondary issue. It becomes a less important thing, a thing that is in the way of our spiritual advancement. I'm very familiar with having a body that's in the way of spiritual advancement. But it's a fact. We have, without Krishna consciousness, without surrendering to Krishna and recognizing him as the source of our pleasure, then we make the faux pas or the gaffe of thinking that material life has something to offer us, that material pleasures are be-alls and end-alls. When I joined Hare Krishna movement, it was an act of surrender. You know, actually had to give certain things up, and so I was surrendered. Eventually, I got all those things back, but but somehow I was convinced that I could use those things in Krishna's service. But at the time, it was an act of surrender. I was encouraged to surrender and just become a devotee. Just become a devotee. That's all that was objective. That was the only objective in the way the devotees preach to me. Now, one must realize that I would be better off by following the religious principles than if I simply attempt to enjoy indiscriminately. And that's the conclusion, that anyone becoming a devotee or anyone actually taking up any religious activity has to be convinced of, that I'd be better off if I were sober, that I'd be better off if I pray to God for whatever I need. Even those kinds of pious persons are referenced in the Bhagavad Gita. It's better if you're just pious, you know, if you just depend on God for your basic needs, your daily bread, etc. You're better off doing that than you are if you're atheistic and you don't have any belief in God at all. You simply believe in the body and the pleasure of the body and the pleasure of the mind. So our business in Krishna consciousness is to present to everyone their opportunity to have this specific or this not specific but this relationship with God, have a fulfilling one-to-one reciprocal relationship with God. And this relationship maybe at first and usually is selfish. In other words, we end up asking God for this and that. I remember myself, when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I jumped on the back of a U-Haul truck that was taking the devotees from Dallas to Tallahassee. They had closed the temple there in Tallahassee. A mistake that the GBC made. Prabhupada later disbanded the GBC partly on the basis of that decision. But they had closed the temple, and they sent, partly because they had some devotees there who were friends of mine, who were teachers, and they were needed in Dallas. They were opening a school there. So anyway, I jumped on the truck, and we stopped a little later at a gas station, and I'd been chanting all morning, and it was quite amazing, quite a whole scene there. But the devotees gave me some ginger. Here, try this. Have some. Gave me a big piece of ginger. I chewed that. Blew my head off. But anyway, so I got out of the car. We stopped at this supermarket or something to get some gas and different stuff. And I said, I need some cigarettes. You know, I was addicted to cigarettes. So, so my friend said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, I could just imagine smoking in the back of the truck with all these devotees. So I was a little embarrassed. Okay, well, actually, I'd been embarrassed by smoking for many, many years. I'd wanted to give it up, but I could never manage it. But somehow or another, I prayed to Krishna. This is an example of someone praying to Krishna for a material benediction, you know. And so I said, well, Krishna, you know, if this Krishna stuff is real, because I had only been chanting for a week, and I wasn't very well versed in the philosophy. And I said, if this is for real, then please take the taste for cigarettes out of my mouth. Just finish it. And I never smoked another cigarette. Krishna actually gave me the benediction. So I was really lucky. I was really fortunate. But still, it's a kind of bargaining. And what I was doing there was bartering with God. You know, give me this, give me that. Let me be free. Let me be liberated, so forth. It goes all the way up to the idea of liberation, getting free from cigarettes. but ultimately, the degree of surrender, there is some surrender there. I'll do this if you do that. I'm recognizing that you're powerful and I'm not. I'm impotent. I have no power. So this is one degree of surrender, and we go on like this. The different parts of surrender that take place, people in AA or NA or OA, whatever, they have different degrees, these 12 steps of committing themselves to a higher power. So we are so much fortunate, not that we think of God as the higher power. You know, we can't really say what he is, but we know exactly what is that highest power. Who is that highest person? Who is the person who is providing the power? The Ishwara and the Shakti, all of this stuff is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. There's no question that he is the one who provides everything. And so he's the ultimate winner in every circumstance. And so we should surrender to the winning side. We should give ourselves to the Supreme Lord. This purport in the Bhagavad Gita is continued here. The Vedic principles push one towards complete surrender unto him. And whenever such principles are disturbed by the demoniac, the Lord appears. From the Bhagavatam, we understand that Lord Buddha is the incarnation of Krishna who appeared when materialism was rampant. And the materialists were using the pretext of the authority of the Vedas. Although there are certain restrictive rules and regulations regarding animal sacrifice for particular purposes in the Vedas, people of demoniac tendency still took to animal sacrifice without reference to the Vedic principles. Lord Buddha appeared to stop this nonsense and to establish the Vedic principles of nonviolence. Now today I spent some time in Thailand and I had referenced that the monks would go out and beg every morning. Scores and scores of these men in saffron with begging bowls, large begging bowls. And they can only eat once a day. But they would take anything. They would take meat, they would take, you know, fish, they would take all these things, eggs and so forth. They'd take anything. The idea was, okay, it's being given, I can eat it. You know, it's, of course, not exactly what Lord Buddha was preaching. In fact, there was a sect or a group in Thailand, who, or in the Buddhist community, who decided that, no, this is wrong. We should not be eating meat. Lord Buddha actually appeared to stop this meeting, you know. And they were ostracized. They were ostracized by the larger Buddhist community. So we have to be very careful that we base our philosophy on the Shastra. It cannot be the basis of some charismatic leader coming forward and then presenting some ideas. I was interested. There was this one Church of God in America, and the founder of that religion, he established something like 200 churches all over the country and so forth. Very, very big religion. Assembly of God, maybe. At any rate, when he passed away, the leaders of his organization, they decided, well, let's codify what he had said. So they tried to codify it, and they had so many contradictions that they could not put together a comprehensive issue of what this man had said. There were so many contradictions. Eventually they just gave up, and they just continued to preach in their own little assemblies according to what they thought, you know, whatever they thought, whatever, however the philosophy appealed to them. But we can't pick and choose the Shastra. We cannot, you know, just, I like this, I don't like that, you know, I'm following two regular principles or three regular principles, or maybe following six regular principles. No, we actually have to go by the Shastra, and we may be following six regular principles, but none of them are what Prabhupada originally presented. You know, we have to go by the Shastra and what was said there. Therefore, each and every, I mean, of course, and this is another reference to this, the importance of the Shastra, is that Prabhupada never said anything outside of it. He was always backed up. Whatever he said was backed up by the Shastra. And therefore, each and every avatar or incarnation of the Lord has a particular mission, and they are all described in the revealed scriptures. No one should be accepted as an avatar unless he is referenced by the scriptures. It is not a fact that the Lord appears only on Indian soil. He can manifest himself anywhere and everywhere, and whenever he desires to appear. In each and every incarnation, he speaks as much about religion as can be understood by the particular people under a particular circumstance. The Lord Jesus said, there are many things I have to tell you, but you have no ears to hear them. So even Christ was referencing this idea that people don't really want to hear anything outside of their normal. Outside what they consider normal. So the Jewish people at that time were not interested in hearing the other things that Christ had to say. There's a lot of referencing now going on that Christ lived in India, that he had that time in his life between he was about 12 and 30, that he spent traveling throughout India. And there's references in India itself about him appearing in Kashmir and him also appearing in Puri. He had a problem with the priests in Puri because he was they were caste conscious and he wasn't. He was saying no, everyone should be allowed to. But at any rate, so Jesus is referenced here as a God's. The mission is the same here. The mission is the same, to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Sometimes the Lord descends personally, and sometimes he sends his bona fide representative in the form of his son or servant or himself in some disguised form. So this is the part of the purport there. So this is my comment. Jesus is referenced here as God's son, Krishna's son. And do we have any other disguised incarnations or representatives in the room here today? I was checking. No. Anyway, but actually, we're all representatives of the Lord. It's a fact. When one becomes a devotee, he starts to represent Krishna. And we're representatives also of the religious principles. Devotees are emblems of religion because they have or are making an effort to surrender totally and fully to Krishna. And that's our objective. If you ask a devotee, what is your objective? What's the reason? What's your person? What's your religion all about? Our religion is about surrendering to Krishna. That's what it's about. And the means we have are the holy name, prasadam, regular deity worship, seeing the Lord in the temple. These are different means, but our real objective is to surrender. That's why we come every day. We surrender to the routine or to the schedule of greeting the Lord, of being with the Lord, of acknowledging the Lord. This is our Krishna consciousness business. This is the means of our surrender. So Christ realized that he was a child of God. He was God's son. Then he also states that he's the son of man. When questioned by Pontius Pilate, he said, "I'm the son of man. Who are you?" They said, "Are you the son of God?" He said, "No, I'm the son of man." So, but he also understood that he was the son of God. His divine consciousness. In other words, we say his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, because we understand that he's realized his divinity in relation to Krishna as part and parcel of Krishna. That's our understanding of what his divine grace means, that the spirit soul is actually divine. Spirit soul is actually a divine personality. He's not the supreme personality, but he is divine. And so recognizing that and appreciating that is one means that we can come to self-realization and understand that we don't need the material world. We don't need material life. We don't need so many material appliances and conveniences and so forth in our life. We don't need so many materialist distractions. So Vedic philosophy or theology give the understanding of divine nature of the self. A jiva soul has godly qualities at the same essential and the same essential nature of God. Therefore, we acknowledge Christ's divinity, but not that he was God himself, not that he was God the Father. And Jesus confirms this. He says, "Without the Father, I'm nothing." He says this something 27 times or something in the Bible, in the New Testament. "Without the Father, I'm nothing." Now, the Christians tried to create a triangle. They created a triangle where there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This idea of three persons, a Trinity, three persons, personalities in the Supreme Godhead. So actually, in a sense, we're part and parcel of Godhead. The Son, we're all sons and daughters of Krishna. We're all sons, actually, or we're all, you know, children. So we're all the children of the Supreme Lord. We're part of that divine reality. But we're not the Supreme. The Christians make them all equal and yet separate. But we keep them separate. We see the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, as the Supreme Person and ourselves as his servants. And this is the dividing line. This is the heavy dividing line between all the other philosophies, practically speaking, that we are servants of God, eternally servants, and never become the Supreme, never become God. The purport is continued. The principles of the Bhagavad Gita were spoken to Arjuna and, for that matter, to other highly elevated persons because he was highly advanced compared to ordinary persons in other parts of the world. 2 + 2 = 4 is a mathematical principle that's true in the beginners of arithmetic class and the advanced class as well. Still, there are higher and lower mathematics in all incarnations of the Lord. Therefore, the same principles are taught, but they appear to be higher and lower in varied circumstances. The higher principles of religion begin with the acceptance of the four orders and the four statuses of social life, which will be explained later. The whole purport of the mission of incarnations is to arouse Krishna consciousness everywhere. Such consciousness is manifest and non-manifested only under different circumstances. So this is my class, the end of the class, and if there are any questions or comments. I'm sure I said something wrong. Yes.
Hey, Bob. Interesting class. Two questions.
Yes.
One, it stated that religion is springing from the Vedas, and the other one is Christ. He's teaching the world, but it seems, at least in Christianity, he himself has been accepted as the Supreme. So it seems like there's a veil between him and Krishna to some degree, you know, because accepting him as the Supreme
Yeah, that's true. But it's not Christ doing, it's the Christians doing.
Yeah, so you explain.
That's the thing. That they're misunderstanding the philosophy that he spoke. And for convenience of institutionalism and political and power and so forth, different reasons, they gave up a lot of the teachings of Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus mentions that every religion should be appreciated, all different types of... And there were many different religions where he was, not just Judaism. There were many different, but all religions, he said, should be appreciated and revered. And so he wasn't trying to establish Christianity as the be-all, end-all, the only way, as they say now. That wasn't his philosophy at all. So with all due respect, they have deviated from the teachings of their founder. And this is a lesson for us. If we deviate from the founder's teachings, where will we be? We'll have our own little program. So, and that, you may be very successful. What is it, the Swami Narayan people? They had one group was Vaishnav, and they very seriously subscribed to all the Vaishnav principles. And another group went off into this Mayavadi realm. And that group became very, very powerful and very big and very strong. So it's not a matter of like who's got the fanciest church or who's got the biggest temples or whatever. It's a matter of is there an adherence to the words of the founding principles of that religion? All the religions are in the Vedas, and different times they come and they manifest different, partially manifest. And different times, like Muhammad was against the worship of the deities, because there were so many unauthorized versions of deities going around. And as a result, some of them were actually demoniac forms. So he said, no, none of this. So he's called an iconoclast against all forms of reference. In fact, in Islam today, there's two distinct groups, and one of them is against any kind of form, any kind of picture even, photograph or something of a person. And the other is a little more liberal. They have pictures of Muhammad. They have pictures of his son-in-law who continued the religion and so forth. And they're diametrically over this one issue of whether or not to give the form of God a form or give his representatives a form. And so they're killing each other like crazy, bombing each other and so forth, fighting over. Ultimately, they're really fighting over the oil. They're not really fighting over religious principles. Because there's so many contradictions within the scope of the Quran for this business of fighting to be, a preeminent point of the philosophy. But they disregard. They hear only what they want to hear. And so this is what we in Krishna consciousness have to be very careful, not to do, not to just hear what we want to hear, but actually investigate, delve into the philosophy. And if there's a point we don't understand, if someone is saying this and someone is saying that, we have the opportunity to go into ourselves, to surrender to Krishna and ask Krishna's guidance, We can ask Krishna's guidance. What does Krishna say? And this is there in our philosophy. One can go beyond the guru. If the guru is not preaching, if the guru is not preaching that you should surrender to Krishna, then you can abandon that guru. And the Bali Maharaj abandoned his guru. He said, no, I don't need this. I'm going to follow the Shastra. This is why the Shastra is so important. Gurus fall down. People fall down. People are very fallible. We may represent Krishna very nicely for so many years, and then there is a discrepancy. Maybe that discrepancy is meant to teach us something personally, if we're the one who's making the mistake or falling down. Maybe that's meant to teach us that we're not the great devotee we thought we were, and humble us. And that's all right. That's something we should learn from. And we should learn from it with compassion, not, now I'm on top of this guy. I can condemn him. Boy, I'm on top of this. This is our philosophy, that we love, and we trust that you are sincere about becoming a devotee. But as far as my involvement in Krishna consciousness, it ultimately is my responsibility. Not that I, you know, in the cult, it's very easy to give your volition to someone and let that person just make all the arrangements. Yeah. So it's a very lazy man. It's a lazy man's paradise. But in reality, we have to assert our the reality of our independence. We have independence to choose. We have individuality. And we have to assert that it's valid to surrender to Krishna on our own terms, but not necessarily if those terms, so-called, contradict the Shastra. Our own terms mean in light of the Shastra. Yes, Prabhuji.
You are very popular, efficient.
Let's see.
No, you did very good. In the purport, Prabhupada, the way he translated, very interesting, or Sule Sukhdev Goswami mentioned that all pervasive God appeared there. So, another way to look at it, on the second canto also Prabhupada talks that why pure bhakti is covered by karma and jnana. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that all pervasive God, most of the religion theologies, very thoughtful, they come to this conclusion that all consciousness being or is there, not as a person. But they cannot cross this, what Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda did, by developing an unalloyed, unconditional love, what causes this all consciousness, all pervasive being to take a personal, limited form.
Right.
This is a most revelation. That where most of the even devotee will block themselves, they cannot think or meditate on that personal form, even though they are focusing on that. Because Srila Prabhupada also says in third canto that when we are going to temple, this is a good habit, but that we have to, I'm coming here, I use myself, I'm coming here. Now when I go to spiritual world, am I going to do the same thing, looking at the deity, or I will have a relationship? So that to feel that presence of the Lord in our personal, to cross that all consciousness, all pervasive existence, surrender, as you mentioned very nicely, I have to develop a relationship. Yeah. And it should be here, not after I die.
Right, that's right. Yeah. No, it's essential that we develop a relationship here. However, some of us are not going to be so expert. For some of us, it's just going to be Vaikuntha. We're not going to have such an intimate relationship. We'll be in there in service, on reverence, so forth.
But if you hear what Nanda Mahabhava, I don't want to take too much time, but it's beautiful. If you hear, I guarantee nobody will say anywhere else they want to go.
That's right. That's true. Well, Prabhupada said that the devotees, his devotees, were going to participate in the three higher rasas, friendship, parental and conjugal.
Yes,
he said like that. So it's wrong that you were going to end up in Vaikuntha. Although some people, I was corresponding. Somebody was on Facebook, and then ultimately that person, some lady, she became absorbed in the what is it? I'm not sure if it's Ramanuja, but another sampradaya, and they worship Vishnu, and that's it. That's the cutoff point. And I thought, you know, well, I mentioned to her, I said, you know, why you're giving up on these other rasas, you know, these higher relationships? She said, well, if I can just get that much, that'll be good enough. So,
but bhakti doesn't say that, though. Bhakti says,
no.
Bhakti says this is exclusively pleasure for the Lord. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 3, 15, 16, 17, Prabhupada translated very nicely, Aishwarya Gyanete Sakala Jagato Mishrita Aishwarya Sitila Prema Nahi Maur Prita. Lord himself is disclosing that in the whole world, everybody shows so much awe and reverence, worship me with opulence form, but it is feeble. It does not satisfy me. See, if I'm really interested to know what pleases the Lord most, I will come out of that.
Yeah,
But Nanda Maharaj's, this Brajadham, this chapter is too good to miss it.
So we shouldn't limit ourselves.
No.
Definitely. Don't limit yourself. Gotcha. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Glorious Srila Prabhupada.